read to you the rest of the information about a lady that was healed during camp meeting online, through online. This is a text she texted to her pastor who was here. Glory to God, Pastor, I'm healed. I don't feel the lump in my throat anymore. I can take a full breath, no wheezing. I can touch my toes and the floor. This lady got an overhaul. So she's already described the lump has gone out of her throat. She can breathe normal, no wheezing. And now her toes, she can touch her toes. So there's something healed in her back or whatever. She said, glory to God. And he told me he's giving me a new spleen. No more antibiotics. And he told me to throw the inhaler away and bring a witness. I gave it to, and she mentioned the name somewhere there in the church, and he got rid of it for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus, glory to God. I'm completely healed. Wave after wave hit me tonight. That was that service Wednesday night. That's through live stream. Wave after wave. Well, I was sitting there. I sensed this has gone through live stream. Wave after wave hit me tonight. I coughed up the tumor that was in my throat. It's gone, Pastor. It's gone. Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Thank you, Jesus. I'm healed. Hallelujah. And we're getting, I told the pastor, I said, I want to get the doctor's report, you know. Because that tumor was spit up. I want to see what the doctors have to say about that. They'll have something to say. If it's nothing else, then, oh my goodness. Hallelujah. I was awakened this morning early. And I'll get some sleep this afternoon. I really wasn't awakened by the Lord, I don't believe, because I was awakened to a coon scratching on my screen on the bedroom door, you know. So the Lord, I don't think, had anything to do with waking me up, but once I was awake, he did start talking to me. It seems awfully loud in the middle of the night whenever you're out there going, hey, get out of here, you know, so. I mean, you do that in the daytime, you know, a lot of noise during the daytime. But during the night, it seems like it echoes through the whole woods, you know. So, but as I got back in bed and lay there thinking, did I hear him again? And got back up and looked again. I laid back down. I said, I got to get some sleep. And I started dipping because I've learned if I want to sleep, then I start dipping. Except this time the Lord started saying something and I never went back to sleep. And I want you to go to Colossians chapter number to start here this morning. Colossians chapter. No, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And then we'll go to Colossians chapter number 2. And I want to share with you what he shared with me. And I think this will bless you. I think it'll encourage you. I know it encouraged me. While you're going to Colossians... No, you're going to 1 Corinthians 3 and then Colossians. A number of years ago, this was quite a few years ago, an angel came into the service. Somebody said, did you see him? No, but I just sensed he was standing right back here. And I said, Lord, what's he here for? And I got no answer. And I went to camp meeting just a few days after that when Dr. Dufresne was still here. And the Lord started speaking to me in camp meeting, and this is what he said. He said, this is a paraphrase, something to the effect that the Lord was checking out the condition of the church to see if we were ready for some other things. And you know, that's scriptural. The Bible talks about Jesus, I'll talk about an angel here, but the Bible talks about Jesus walking in the midst of the churches. Yes. And he's checking the church out. Remember, he had walked through the seven churches of Asia and gave John on the Isle of Patmos a message for each one. He said, here's where you're doing well. Here's where I congratulate you. And here's where I want you to go to working on. Remember? And then he complimented them on certain things and said certain things to different ones. And so he had walked through those churches. Well, I was praying. I got up this morning and then I was laying there and then the Lord started talking to me. And he started talking to me and he said this. He said, camp meeting was increase. And I thought, well, yeah, that was increase. That's probably the strongest healing anointing that's ever hit this church, this congregation. Especially I'm talking about Wednesday night, but many things through the week. And he started talking to me about increase. And I want to share some of what he shared with me. I want to share it with you. First, for a few scriptures, 1 Corinthians 3. Notice he said here in verse number 6, I have planted, Apollos watered. Paul's writing by the Spirit. And God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So notice God is the God of increase. Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. Just give you some scriptures to springboard on. Before we dive in, Colossians 2, verse 19, and not holding the head, he was challenging them because they weren't holding the head from which all the body, talking about Jesus, Jesus is the head of the body, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. I want you to underline that term, increases with the increase of God. That's always stood out to me. Because there is an increase of God, which tells me there's an increase of man. In other words, you know, you can increase a church various ways. You can get people in church various ways. By things of the flesh. Or things of the spirit. Paul said in Galatians, we sowed to your spirit, not to your flesh. Amen. Amen. You can increase people, church growth, or try to increase people's attendance or whatever by handing out whatever. Just handing things out in the flesh to appeal to their flesh. Yeah. But that's not the increase of God. Those people didn't come because they're hungry for God.
Right.
You understand? So there's an increase of God. I wanted you to see that. First, this chapter here, Colossians 2, verse 19. The increase of God comes from the head. It comes from Jesus. Isn't that right? Through joints and bands. In other words, through members of the church. In other words, through different supplies that different ones have. And he said, by that being knit together, we increase with the increase of God. Amen. Amen. And so the Lord began to woke me up and started sharing these verses with me. They just started coming up out of my spirit. And he specifically started talking to me about how preparation, are you with me this morning? Yes. Preparation always goes before increase. Yes. God wants to do things in our lives to increase our lives. Now, I'm not just talking financially. I'm talking about growth, spiritual growth. I'm talking about increase in effectiveness in the kingdom of God, increase in number of people getting saved, increase in the anointing, greater manifestations of the Spirit. Amen. You could take this increase in many different areas. But whatever area of increase that you are interested in, and I am interested because God is interested. Whatever area of increase that we are believing God for, there is an absolute fact in the Bible that God, first before he increases any man, whether it be in the anointing or revelation or whatever, or in any kind of greater influence in the body of Christ or anything like that, or greater moves of the Spirit, that he gives them stewardship over, or even financially. You know, any increase is preceded by preparation. Amen. before he's able to bring that prep, before he's able to bring that increase into their lives, he has to prepare them for it. Now that's true on the individual level, but that's true in a corporate way. Amen. And he was telling me, he basically started talking to me and said, the preparation that you have made all these years in planting the seed and stabilizing the church on the word and so forth and so on, teaching them about the move of the Spirit, demonstrating the move of the Spirit, has allowed what happened in camp meeting to happen. Amen. I'm telling you, Wednesday night was a big deal. In the Spirit, that's a big deal. Yes, absolutely. And that's only the beginning of some things. Amen. I will tell you now, we will see a service before we leave this building to where that back section of chairs won't be there. There'll be wheelchairs back there. Because of such a move of the Spirit, it's going to get the city's attention. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm thrilled. Just thrilled. I got some things in my heart. I know some things that are coming. I won't tell you because, anyway, I'll tell you when the time comes to tell you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So camp meeting was increased. Amen. He dealt with me that we were able to receive that move of God because of the preparation that we had made for it. And he dealt with me about two areas, the helps ministry and the unity of the congregation to form a spiritual house. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now you read through the book of Acts and you'll find that God doesn't want to just use, he does use individuals and he wants to use individuals, but you'll find God wants to use corporate groups of believers. Where they come together in one accord.
Yes.
And suddenly.
Yes.
That's what happened.
Amen.
Suddenly. Suddenly. We didn't hear a wind. But that was what that was. That was a wave that went through here like a whoosh. Actually wave after wave after wave. Praise the Lord. He wants to use groups in this day. Not just individuals though. You know, that scripture, both of them are scriptural. Amen. And so, because we had prepared, he gave me two areas in helps ministry. Now, in other words, helps ministry wasn't bucking and say, well, you know, I can't do that. I mean, we all just jumped in. How'd you guys tell there was something about the meeting? There's everybody just jumping in.
Yeah.
Just joyfully bringing their supply.
Yeah.
Praise God. And then also the unity that has formed around the things of the move of the Spirit. Which is based on the Word. That created the right, that prepared this congregation for that kind of thing. And I'm here to say that's just the beginning. Pastor Nancy thanked us. I don't know if it was publicly out here. I think she said something out here, but at least in the back room, for preparing a place where healing could move like this in this city.
Amen.
That wasn't Pastor Nancy talking. She was just the mouthpiece. That was God. That was the head of the church talking to this congregation. I'm telling you what the Lord told me last night. I said, that was the head of the church. Hallelujah. That came out of the heart of God. He was pleased. I'm telling you, the glory didn't just come in here. Jesus came in here and inspected the troops. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I believe he was pleased with what he saw. That doesn't mean all of our lives are all together. That's not what we're talking about. We all have areas we're growing in. We all have areas we're sanctifying. There's areas we're consecrating ourselves, cutting off the flesh. I didn't say God said every one of us is perfect. I mean, if that was the case, we might as well just all go to heaven right now. Because we don't want to mess up this perfectness, you know. That's not what we're saying. He's just pleased with the unity. He's pleased with the corporate house. Amen. And when God is pleased, he shows it. You got to hear that. When he's pleased, he shows it.
Yes.
Don't think God's pleased when nothing's happening. Yeah, don't think. When God's pleased, he shows it. How does he show it? He manifests himself. He manifests himself. There will be activity where God will show up and show out. Amen. It's him honoring what pleases him. Amen. It's him honoring us for the fact that we as a congregation, we're interested. We as a congregation honored the Spirit to have his way. We as a congregation are using our faith for the move of the Spirit. He honors the unity of our heart. The unity of our heart for his plan and the unity of our faith for his plan, not the plan of man. Not modern churchology. Amen. This has a spirit of prophecy. This service has a spirit of prophecy on it. And so there in the Old Testament, Moses, God had a plan for Moses' life. He sort of messed it up. You remember when he killed the Egyptian? But he ran on for his life on the backside of the desert and lived back there for 40 years. But one day he's out tending his father-in-law's sheep and he sees a bush burning. And he's like, that's not natural. And the Bible said he turned aside to see what it was. And then the Bible said when God saw that he had turned aside, the Bible said God called to him out of the burning bush. In other words, because Moses was interested in what this was, this supernatural. What is this? This is something supernatural. Moses was interested enough to leave the sheep alone for a period of time and go after that supernatural work. And when God saw that he moved towards his plan for his life, he moved him into the next phase of his plan for his life. Amen. This congregation's going into the next phase of God's plan for this congregation. Another phase of the anointing. Praise be to God. This isn't just Pastor Jay talking. I had me a good sermon, a whole different subject. I was going a different direction. This is what God spoke to me last night. Hallelujah. So I'm just encouraging you, because you're part of forming this house. You've cooperated in forming this house. Amen. You've turned aside from a lot of natural things to see this move of God. You see this burning fire. God sees your interest. And so he's saying, okay, now they're interested. Now I'm going to take them on to the next part of my plan for them. Like Moses, God spoke to him about the next part of his plan for him. And he's 80 years old, and he's got another 40 years of ministry. Amen. That's an amazing thought. And he didn't really get into what God had for him until he was 80 years old. Amen. That's us. Not 80 years old, but as far as the plan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For God to use someone, they have to respond to him. Thank God. And we are here to respond. We have record in the Bible of people that he wanted to use and they didn't respond. King Saul was one. He was very self-minded. He had his own plan. He's following his own plan. And God just set him aside. He couldn't use him. We got people like Lot. God had a plan for him. He didn't. He loved the world more than God's plan. We got people like Gehazi. You know, he's more interested in money than he's interested in God's plan. We've got people like Judas. He actually was more interested in money than God's plan. He betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Amen. And so we see people in the Bible that God wanted to use, but he had to set them aside. I was reading Brother Hagin's book, Pastor Nancy, some things we were talking about after Wednesday night service, and then what we were talking about in the back room, some things we were talking about got me to reading again Brother Hagin's book, The Healing Anointing. And I was reading it, and I saw some things in there. I guess I'd read it before, must have forgot it. He was caught up to heaven, and Jesus said, kneel down before me, and he put his finger in the palm of each one of his hands, started burning like a coal fire. This is when I think he was 38 years old or something like that. He wasn't very old. And he began to, and then he said, stand up on thy feet. And he said, I've called thee and anointed thee and given thee a special anointing to minister to the sick. And he began to talk to him about that anointing. And so after he had the vision, Brother Hagin endeavored to step out and operate in that anointing. Except that denomination, his Pentecostal denomination, wasn't too thrilled about it. What many people don't know is that the denomination they have a meeting, and they were prepared to turn Brother Hagin out. Take his papers, meaning they can't be ordained with us anymore. Right. Claiming to have seen Jesus in a vision. Claiming to feel the the anointing in your hands. And, you know, and so, but right before they decided, the people of that denomination decided to take his papers, one of the elderly gentlemen stood up and said some things and said something about, well, if you're going to take this away from us, what are you going to give us in place of it? And said some other things about the move of God and, you know, what the Bible said and so forth, and basically embarrassed them. Yeah. Not trying to embarrass them, but basically showed them how unspiritual they were. And then they all said, well, let's just forget it then. They never did kick him out. Amen. And then so he started going out and ministering with that anointing. But here's the thing. He said, Brother Hagin's made this statement, and there was other persecution tried to arise and so forth, because, see, we don't do it that way. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We don't do it that way. There's going to be a lot of things in this time, in this era, that's going to be different than the way it's been being done. Thank God. Amen. We always go back to the Word to see if it's in line with the Word and if it's a new precedence, because remember, the Bible has full of new precedents. At least it's in line with the tenor of the Word. Does it draw attention to Jesus? Does it bring blessing to the people? So forth. There's certain things you can judge things by. You might not have scripture verse, like Jesus didn't have scripture and verse to, you know, put mud in a man's eyes. But you can judge it by the fruit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Brought great glory to God and so forth. Anyway, so Brother Hagin got persecuted and some people didn't like it and so forth, you know, claiming to be anointed. Probably most of them just jealous. But he said, in the course of time, I think he mentioned maybe three, if I remember right, three different ministers came to him privately in that same denomination, Pentecostal denomination, and said, nobody had known about it, but I had almost an identical experience as you had, being caught up to heaven. Jesus appeared to me and ministered a healing anointing to me and told me to go minister under that anointing. And he said, and I started ministering that way, and these same people that are persecuting you criticized me and talked me out of it. I think it was three. At least two, but if I remember right, there was three people that in the process of time came to Brother Hagin. And they said to Brother Hagin, don't quit ministering like God told you to minister. Brother Hagin said, well, I wasn't planning to.
Yeah. Amen.
He had already resolved. He's going to obey God.
Amen.
Woo, you got to resolve. Some things are going to be unusual, and we're just going to have to resolve. We're going to stay with God.
Amen.
And he stayed with it.
Hallelujah.
Well, that's what I'm saying about this congregation. I'm convinced God's tried to use a number of people in this city along these lines.
Yes, sir.
We thank God for every church, but I'm saying along these lines.
Yes, sir.
Moves of the Spirit, waves of glory, divine healing.
Yes, sir.
Amen. The dinner bell ringing. Healing is the dinner bell. And different ways God wants to move in this hour to reap the harvest. I'm convinced that God has wanted to use others, but see, they backed out.
Yeah.
I remember the Lord showed me a vision a long time ago, way back when we first got here. He showed me a vision of a room full of people. It looked like a big ballroom. I had thousands of people in there. And I said, Lord, who are these people? And he said, these are they that are in this city that I tried to move on. I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember the exact language. I tried to move on into the things of the Spirit. And they began to come over into the things of the Spirit, were baptized in the Holy Spirit. But then they moved back into denominationalism. I said, well, what's this room they're in? He said, now they're in the room of the unlearned. They're willingly ignorant because they drew back from the move of my Spirit. Brother Hagin said, Jesus told him in a vision, he said, many of my people in the last days won't be ready to meet me at my coming because they're going to draw back from the move of my Spirit. I'm going to be ready.
Yes, sir. Going to be ready.
It's part of my ministry.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Tell my people I'm coming soon. Tell them to get ready.
Yeah, get ready.
Get ready.
Get ready.
Part of getting ready, staying full of God.
Yes.
Moving with God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You glad you came this morning?
Yes.
Thank God for the move of the Spirit.
Amen.
Well, I'm convinced God's tried to use others. And now he's trying to use us. I'm going to say, no more trying, Lord. Here we are. We're going to obey you.
Amen.
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 Thank God for the previous era. Thank God for teaching faith.
Yeah.
We're going to keep on preaching and teaching faith. Keep on preaching and teaching the authority of the believer. Keep on preaching and teaching the Word of God. Keep on preaching and teaching in Christ.
Yeah.
But we're not going to just do that only. We're going to let the Holy Ghost have his way.
Amen.
Aren't you thankful for the ministers like Pastor Nancy here, this camp meeting, that are moving with that.
Yeah.
That had her sermon. She's, you know, that sermon's burning on the inside of her.
Yeah.
Up to 40 pages of notes. You know that's on the big, that's big on the inside of her.
Yeah.
And the healing anointing comes. She says, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Look, aren't you glad she did that?
Oh, yes.
Aren't you glad? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to bring a great divide between those who stay with the previous era and this next era. Amen. So, praise God. I'm convinced God's tried to use others, but here we are, Lord, and he's wanting to use us. We're going to obey. Amen. He needs you and I to be in agreement concerning this increase. Amen. God wants to do more of what he did in camp meeting. Amen. And he needs us to think right about this. Because increase is always preceded by preparation.
Yeah.
Think about Jesus, for example. His own life. The Bible says Jesus in Luke 2:52, he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. Luke 2:52. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Well, that was at 12. That scripture was written about him at 12 years old.
Yeah.
He is a young man, and he's hungry. He stayed. Remember, that's the time they started leaving. They left Jerusalem. What was it? 2-3 days journey, and realized he wasn't among them. They thought he was with somebody, one of his friends or something. And they turned back to find him. He's back in the temple talking over the things of God with the rabbis. Remember, they said, "Well, you know, you gave us a lot of heartache." You know, we paraphrase it today. You gave us a lot of heartache. He said, "Don't you think I should be about my father's business?" That's how increase comes, being about the business of what God's doing.
Yes.
Not being about the business of our own thing.
All right now.
Congratulations, you were at camp meeting. You were about the business of heaven.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you're in church Sunday morning. You're about the business of heaven.
Amen.
We don't just come together to have church. God's got a plan.
Yes, something to do.
That's right.
So, But Jesus, already at that age, and probably actually before that, but he's being prepared, and he prepared for 30 years for three and a half years of ministry. Isn't that right? That's a whole lot of preparation. But man, when that anointing came on him in the River Jordan, it was all worth it. All the years, all the preparation, all the, because how many of you know, you and I, there's things God's preparing us for as well. And when he deals with us to crucify the flesh in this area and to show up in church when we don't want to on Wednesday nights and to be faithful in helps ministry and to give ourselves to prayer when the Holy Ghost moves on us. Amen. He's looking for people who will fill some positions. He needs some people in place. Why? He's preparing.
Yes, he's preparing.
Preparing us for what he's prepared for us. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And Jesus prepared for 10 times longer for the ministry that he actually had. The preparation time was 10 times longer. Amen. But see, whenever that anointing came on him in the River Jordan, Jesus could have said, oh, here we go. He could have said, preparation time was not wasted time. He learned to hear his father's voice. He learned to obey. The Bible said he learned to obey. He never disobeyed, but he still had to learn to obey. Whenever he'd get a prompting, he'd obey, and he's like, ah, I see the fruit of that. I see the fruit of that. And so he just kept on. He kept on being prepared, and eventually, boom, all that he'd been preparing for came to pass. Amen. Suddenly it was worth it all. I said suddenly it was worth it all. So God needs us to think right about preparing so we won't miss this increase he has in mind for us. Don't buck it when he's working on you. I said don't buck it when he's working on you. You and I have got to be thoroughly convinced, and I'm not sure we all are yet. Things like Wednesday night and some of the things in camp meeting might have got your appetite wet a little bit. But you and I need to be thoroughly convinced that what we saw, that kind of thing, is God's will. And it's God's will for promotion in the things of the Spirit. It's God's will for increase. You ought to just go home and get your concordance out or whatever program you use and just put in the New Testament, put in King James Version, increase. The search engine, you know that search engine? Put in increase. You'd be amazed at how many verses come up on increase. I've got them all written down. I got notes, got them all written down. You'll learn a lot just reading through them. Hallelujah. That's God's will. God is the God of increase. Isn't that right? He's interested in more and more and more. More anointing, more fruit bearing. Amen. He wants this congregation to be lifted up like a city on a hill. He wants us to be a light. He wants us to be an epistle known and read of all men. Not hidden in a corner somewhere where nobody knows where we are, but a mighty sign, a mighty light. Hallelujah. Of Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And religion hasn't done anything for you, but listen to Jesus. Hallelujah. And listen, God is so interested in these things. He's so interested in fruit bearing and increase of the anointing and even increase in numbers. Amen. And bearing fruit and everything. He's so interested in it. It is such his will. And he's so serious about it that we have parables in the Bible that those who receive things in order to increase the kingdom of God, but hid it in a napkin and didn't do anything with it, they lost what he gave to them. He said, take it and give it to the man who increased it. Remember that? Remember, there's a couple parables. One's in Matthew, one's in Luke 19. Interesting. Amen. And so God is so interested in this that those who don't increase. In other words, this is our responsibility. We're not just waiting on God here. God's looking to us. And he's saying, those who don't, they lose what I give them.
Yeah.
That ought to shake us up a little bit. Shake us out of complacency. Shake us into bringing people to church. Hey, come on now. Amen. Shake us into leading people to Jesus. Increase is very, very important to God. It's not an option. I mean, when he says, if you don't increase what I give you, if for my kingdom, I'm going to take it away from you. That makes it not an option. Amen. It's huge with him. Huge. So I know the Lord said to me about this congregation a number of years ago. He said, this church has gotten planted now in this city. That was only, what, 5 years or something like that ago? Gotten planted in this city. Well, when something gets planted, doesn't mean it's up there very high yet. As far as the crop coming up and so forth. Amen. You say it took that long to plant? Yeah, the ground was pretty rough. Amen. But we're up now. Ah, glory. I said we're up now. First the blade. We got a blade out of the ground. Amen. I remember Brother Hagin in camp meeting one year that he had an afternoon session. He did this quite often. I mean, I think once a year in camp meeting. But afternoon session where he led missionaries get up and testify, because many missionaries went out from the Bible school and his ministry and all over the world preaching and so forth. And missionary after missionary get up there and they talk about crusades with hundreds of thousands of people getting saved and mighty things, signs and wonders, raising the dead and so forth and so on, many things all over the world. And I remember, never forget one year, after several people was talking about things like that, a couple got up, he asked them to. A couple got up and said they went to France and they've been there for an X number of years, substantial number of years, and they had got a church planted. I think, if I remember right, they had 30 people. And you could feel the congregation going, oh. You know? And they talked about, you know, how God was working in their congregation. And Brother Hagin could sense the crowd. And he got up in all of his wisdom and said, you know, some of these folks that get to go over and do some of these things, they're reaping where others have sown. And then he said, other folks can't even get the seed in the ground. They got to prepare the soil with prayer for years before they can even get the seed in the ground and get a little something to grow. And you could hear the congregation going, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we knew that. We knew that.
Come on.
Amen. I don't know if you know it. Cedar Rapids is not the belt buckle on the Bible Belt. You know what I'm talking about? We have no history that I can find in this city of much of a revival. I believe Oral Roberts was here for just a couple of nights. I believe Amos Simple McPherson was here one time, I think. Maybe a couple of times, actually. And from what I can tell, what's her name? I'm trying. Mariah Woodworth Eder preached all around the Iowa area and never came to Cedar Rapids. She was even in North Liberty. Had a mighty move of God down North Liberty. So there's not a whole lot of seed in the ground where this area has got great history of moves of the Spirit.
Come on. Come on.
Well, what are we here for? God was looking through the body of Christ. He said, I need a plow horse. I need a plow horse. I don't know what he liked about me, but he said something about me he wanted to send me here. Glory. So here we are. Let's put some history in this city of the move of God. Some cities have, like Los Angeles, so much history of the move of God. I mean, before Azusa Street and many, many things. Have a lot of history. Cedar Rapids. It's there. There's Cedar Rapids. But that's changing. I said, that's changing. And you're a part of that change. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at how this happens. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, 6, and 7, I've planted, Apollos watered, God gives the increase. So there's got to be a lot of planting. Planting the seed of the word, watering the seed of the word. Then notice here, Acts 6, 7, it said, and the word of God increased. We're talking about increase. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and the great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Whoa, everybody say, the word of God increased. Acts 12:24, the word of God grew and multiplied. Acts 19:20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Acts 6:7, if you write them down. Acts 12:24. Acts 6:7, Acts 12:24. And then Acts 19:20.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, sir.
You can read all those verses. I just read them. But basically, the word has to be planted and watered to get some increase. Praise the Lord. I remember F.F. Bosworth wrote the book Christ the Healer. And he would go into a city and advertise a meeting, and he never would stay more than, I mean, less than a few weeks. Because he said the first week you're just sort of getting people's attention.
Right.
And you really know most of the time the first week you wouldn't really have any healings take place.
Right.
The second week, usually by the second week, maybe the end of the second week, you start having some healings take place.
Yeah.
And then usually by the end of the second week, you get something big happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which brings the whole city together.
Yeah.
In the third week, you can really have a meeting and get a bunch of people saved.
Right.
Hey, I heard recently Brother Copeland, actually Brother Jerry Savelle in the Southwest Believers Convention said the same thing happened when he and Brother Copeland started out at the beginning. He said the churches didn't like what they were preaching, so they had to go to neutral areas. No churches at the beginning were saying, come over here and help us, because too religious. So, but they'd go in and they'd start a meeting. He said they never would stay less than 3 weeks. Because people needed to get the word into them.
Right.
You got to plant the seed.
That's right.
Amen. Then you start getting some things happening. Well, that's what Paul's talking about here. The word's got to grow. You can't just plant it and then boom, the next day you get a big crop.
Right.
Takes water. I planted some seed about a week or 10 days ago. And it's barely rain. I thought it had rained on it. Went down there the other day. It's dusty. I'm like, well, no wonder it's laying there on top. I can still see it. But this afternoon, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. You know what's going to happen? It's just been laying there. You know what's going to happen? Poof, it's going to start taking off.
Yeah.
And that's where God said we are. This church has been planted. Pew. Shoo, glory. Hallelujah. I have discovered there's actually an anointing that comes on people for increase. Yeah. But it comes through obedience and responding to the Spirit. Every time you yield to the Holy Ghost, you enlarge yourself. Let me show you what you should be doing. Every time you yield to the Holy Ghost, you enlarge yourself.
Amen.
You enlarge your capacity. That move Wednesday night was an enlargement of this congregation.
Yes, sir.
It was an enlargement of things in the spirit realm.
Glory.
I mean, we're through the door of that now.
Yes, sir.
We're going to see that more often.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
It's going to become more common.
Yep.
And happen more regularly. Because
yep.
We're going from glory to glory. I said, we're going from glory. We're going from glory to glory. I remember the Lord talking to me one time about the mantle for ministry. You can find that in 1 Kings 19:19. The mantle is an outer coat that they wore in Bible days, and it was a type of the anointing. Prophets, remember whenever Elijah spoke to Elijah about following him, he walked by and threw his mantle on him. That means he threw his outer coat on him. And it was a type of, it was the Lord saying, the anointing that's on me is going to come on you.
Yeah.
And so the mantle is a type of the anointing. And I remember the Lord talking to me about the mantle one time. And he said this. He said, in the things of the Spirit, the mantle doesn't get fitted for the man, but the man gets fitted for the mantle. The man is measured to see if he fits the mantle, not the mantle to see if it fits the man. Amen. The man is fitted for the mantle's use. The mantle's not fitted for the man's use. Now, what are we talking about? Bible said in 2 Timothy 2:21. Y'all following me? I'm moving a little fast here, but you need to hear this verse, 2 Timothy 2:21. If a man purge himself from these things, he'll be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use.
Amen.
And the way God uses us is with the anointing.
Yes.
It's through the anointing.
Yes.
And so he's talking about the man being prepared to be used in the anointing.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
Can you see that God prepares the man for the mantle? He doesn't prepare the mantle for the man. In other words, he measures us to see if we fit. He doesn't measure it to see if it fits us. Now, when I say measures us, what am I talking about? I'm talking about developing our character, developing spiritual qualities that the mantle will require, that if those qualities aren't there, the mantle will destroy us. There are people in the Bible that because the anointing came on them, they weren't ready for what God had for them. And their character couldn't keep them where their mantle put them. Amen. So he wants to put some things. He's looking for people. He's looking for laborers. He's looking for congregations that'll flow and prepare themselves for the flow of the Spirit. That'll unite.
Yes.
Not around man's plan, but about around God's plan.
Yes.
And I sense he's pleased with this congregation.
Praise God.
I sense from what he was talking about, talking to me about last night, I sense he's pleased with that. That doesn't mean we're all perfect. You understand that. You understand none of us are perfect in the flesh. But you cannot be perfect in the flesh, but you got a perfect heart. And he's looking on the heart.
Yes, he is.
We have a heart of unity. We have a heart of interest. We are desiring what God wants. I mean, I believe so. I do. I know many of you do. If you don't, you're just getting in. You got something stirring in you today. You can just feel it. Something down in there. Yeah, that's me. You didn't even know it was you until I started preaching on it. Amen. That's why you're drawn here. Things like Wednesday night ought to make you go, you mean there's things like that that can happen. See, maybe some of us didn't even know something like that could happen. But when I grew up, we had what we called tiddlywinks. That's tiddlywinks compared to where God wants to take us. If you don't know what tiddlywinks are, go Google it. Hallelujah. We're going some places.
Yes, we are.
I said, we're going to some places.
Yes, we are.
Praise God. I like it. I like it. I like it. I tell you, I get in services like Wednesday night, and I get.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's like, yeah, that's the shot I needed. Hey.
Yes, yes.
It won't be long. I need another one of them. Shoot me up, Jesus, you know.
Yes, yes.
That was lit, wasn't it? It was lit. He's also got to build us right in faith.
Yes. Yes.
And we had the faith to receive that.
Yes.
You notice how easy it flowed?
Yeah. Yeah.
This wasn't Nazareth anymore. I said it wasn't. The Lord showed up and he didn't find that. He wasn't Nazareth anymore. Ooh. How many of you know Jesus is, if you read the Bible, there were certain cities in the Gospels, there were certain cities that Jesus went to repeatedly.
Yeah.
And certain cities he didn't come back to.
That's right.
Nazareth was one place he didn't come back. But Capernaum, he's over there all the time. And they actually said in Nazareth, the things you do in Capernaum, why don't you do over here? How many of you know whenever the Lord finds a place that welcomes him, he keeps going back? Now, that doesn't mean his presence ever leaves, you understand? But I'm talking about in those kinds of waves and moves, and we're going to keep on experiencing more and more of this. This sermon is prophetic. The Lord woke me up and said all this. I wasn't thinking all this. Glory. Hallelujah. When the Lord prepared, when the Lord said to me, tell my people I'm coming soon, tell them to get ready. Remember that? The Lord said that to me? The there's more to that than just getting people ready for him to come. The Bible says in Luke 1:17 that what was on Elijah was in order to make ready, this is the Amplified, Luke 1:17, and it was in order to make ready for the Lord a people perfectly prepared in spirit.
Yes.
adjusted and deposed and placed in the right moral state.
Oh. Yeah.
Now, that was what was on Elijah, who was prophesied to come before Jesus comes. End time ministries today that are listening to the Spirit have that on them. Preparing people in heart. That's their assignment, particularly end time ministers, to make people ready in their heart for what's coming.
Yes.
Amen. It dawned on me when I arrived, the Lord said, tell them to get ready. It dawned on me that part of my ministry, and there's not just one of us, there's a whole company God's raised up. But our ministry and others is to prepare people for what's ahead for them, including the coming of the Lord, but it's not limited to that. You remember the vision I had of the large upper room? That's what that was all about. That wasn't in order. That wasn't functioning. And he said, told me, he said, put that room in order.
Yes, sir.
For the things that are there, those spiritual equipments that are there, that they'll function. In other words, get it ready.
Amen.
Woo, glory. There's more to our assignment than, just getting people ready for the return of the Lord. Get them ready for what is going to bring the return of the Lord. We know what that is. It's the latter rain. And we know what ushers that in. It's according to James, it's prayer. And while I'm at it, I might as well say, when the Lord called me here, he said, what you stepped out in, you didn't have the covering of prayer over you to protect you from it. Raise up a group of prayer people so you can get back out there. Out there in that place in the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't know if I'm helping you. This should all be coming clear. I believe you're getting it. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I know you're getting it. Praise God. So there are assignments God needs fulfilled. There are stations he needs men to occupy. Places in prayer he needs men skilled in faith to operate from. Anointings and things of the Spirit that have got to be sharpened so we can flow with it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. When he said, tell my people I'm coming soon, tell them to get ready. That means some of them won't be ready. I'm convinced there will be still some that won't be ready. But there will be a company. There will be a remnant. There will be a harvest. And all that needs laborers. That's part of what we're here for. Hallelujah. You're a laborer. I said, you're a laborer. And that's part of what he was talking to me about last night. Last night. He was talking to me about all the helps ministry and the unity of the congregation. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we're also preparing people to run their race. You've got a race you've got to run. And here we are in the season of the Olympics. None of those people, they're on the grand stage and the whole world's watching them. But a lot of that preparation was in total obscurity. I watched one video yesterday of a young lady. She's beating the world's best 400 meter. She's I don't know if they've run the actual Olympic, but in the trials she beat her, and she's 20 years old. She was winning. She won number 3 at 16 years old. I was drawn to her, and I didn't know why. And I was watching a video on her upbringing in high school. I mean, just this little old high school. I think it was in Kentucky. Little old high school that didn't even have the right track, the right size track to train on. So they had to go to other schools to train on. And some of their training was inside, running down the hall. I saw them running down the hall. The coach was there, and they're running down the hall because it was raining outside. And just, prepared in total obscurity. Unglamorous.
Exactly.
Nobody watching. No rah-rah, no big sponsors, no Nike endorsements. Nobody. Just committed to a vision.
That's good.
Amen. And all of a sudden, boom, on the national stage, taking over, winning, and breaking world records. Glory. And I didn't know why I was drawn to this video. I watched it. And at the end, she won the world's number one girl in the trials and made a new world record. And she gave all the glory to God. I'm like, that's what I thought there was something. I I knew I was drawn to watch this video. Because when she runs her race, I'm going to be in there. Come on, sister. Come on, sister. But all that obscure, when she first won, when she first went to the trials, when she was 16 years old, she got number 3. And she called her dad right before she went out there. She's 16 years old. She said, I can't do this. I've never been in this kind of stage. I've never been. And she told her dad, I'm backing out. He said, No, you don't.
Come on. Yeah.
You ever wanted to quit?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
No, you don't. There's glory ahead. How do you do that? How does Pastor Ike do that? I don't know how to do that. Don't flunk God's test. Don't say, I just can't handle this. Amen. Don't pass up your opportunity. It might not be glamorous, but keep responding to the Spirit. Keep obeying when nobody's looking. Amen. Stay consecrated to what God said to you on the inside. Amen. Because in that situation, you'll stay usable. Hallelujah. There's a lot of people that end up staying on the spiritual shelf because they keep flunking tests while others keep advancing and passing tests. I don't want to flunk tests. There's nothing worse than being 18 years old sitting in kindergarten with all your kindergartners, you know. God's not into social promotion. Can I tell you a test that you can pass? It'd be a good test to pass. God speaks you to do something and it's not convenient. It interrupts your schedule and your plans. Or it costs some money. And they didn't respond, so they get set aside. Let me tell you two words you never want to hear God say. Two words you never want to hear God say. Never mind. You know what I mean?
Yes.
In other words, he had something for you, an opportunity, but it required work, changing your schedule, putting some other things first, cutting off something you wanted to do, maybe spending a little money. Huh?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And I just can't, you know. Never mind.
Come on.
You don't know. You may never know. What is concealed, the loss. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
You may never know the amount of loss concealed behind those words. It's something you may never be able to calculate.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear those words. I had something for you, but you didn't respond, so never mind.
Yeah.
It sounds like, I'm off the hook. No, you just lost.
Yeah.
You just had great loss.
Yeah, come on.
And you may never know. God may not ever see fit to show a person what they've actually lost. I've spoken to people at 3, 4, 5 times about certain things. And they didn't respond. Finally, I would say, never mind. And they go, whew, that's over. No, you don't know. You don't know. You don't know what God had said to us. Well, tell me. No. If you don't have enough faith to respond when you don't understand. How'd I get on that? I don't know. That's all free. Anyway, tell your neighbor we're going to close here in a little bit. That's called flunking. How many of you know that's called flunking? Hallelujah. Part of being ready for what God has for us is saying yes. Well, it just seems like I don't have time for anything I enjoy anymore. Well, that groan, that whine is the sound of selfishness leaving your spirit. Whose life is it now? God needs laborers who are on the job and he can count on in the middle of the night when it's not convenient. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. There are things God even won't lead us into if we aren't ready for them and we're not interested. He'll just say, never mind. Because we aren't ready. Amen. Well, thank God. You glad you came this morning?
Yes, sir.
Should we close now?
No.
God is a preparer. Let me just say this and we'll wrap some things up here. He's a preparer. If you read through the Bible, his name is Jehovah Jireh. That means the God who sees ahead and provides. So he sees where he wants us to go, and he begins to prepare us to get there. Not only does he provide all our needs that we'll need going there, but he's preparing us. Amen. He sees ahead and provides. How many of you know he prepared a fish for Jonah? He prepared an upper room for the Last Supper. He prepared a donkey for him to ride into Jerusalem. That's all by arrangement of heaven. That was prophesied generations. That donkey prophesied generations before he was even born. Before mom and daddy donkey got together. Amen. That donkey was prophesied. God was preparing it way ahead of the Messiah. He's preparing everything he would need. That's because God's a preparer. That's just his nature. And Jesus provided, or God provided, tax money in the fish's mouth when Jesus needed taxes. That's all arranged, prearranged. He's a preparer, isn't that right? He prepared a way. We've shared this many times. Prepared a way across the Red Sea. That's just the nature of God. So they could escape Egypt, you know. And if you listen to him, he'll prepare you for what he has prepared for you. And you'll be right on time. Right on time. See, whatever you're doing right now is an area that God wants you to be faithful to. But just know this, as you're faithful to that, he's also in the middle of that, what you're doing right now. He's preparing you for the next thing he has for you. He's working things into you, working things out of you. He's tweaking some things, adjusting some things. You know, like we said about the wine coming out, that's just part of the process. Oh, it just hurts so good, doesn't it? Yes. And so if we'll listen to him, he'll prepare us for where he's really got us going. Even though we might not even know where we're going. Isn't that right? But if we'll walk in the Spirit, God will always have us ahead of whatever is ahead. You know what I mean? He'll have us ready for whatever's ahead. I like that about God. He's just all knowing. He knows the future better than we know the past. And if we'll walk in the Spirit, he'll always have us ready. Amen. You'll never have to scramble, play catch up. You know what I mean? You'll always be ready for what he has for you in the future. A lot of times these things are not so much, when things come to pass are not so much, you know, it's God's timing as it is somebody's ready. Amen. I know the Lord spoke to me about our next building. But the Lord has also spoken to me. He said, I'll have to hold it until this congregation is ready in faith. Amen. And we show him we're ready by how we pay off the parking lot. Amen. We can do it slow or fast. But there comes a time sometimes God said, I don't have any more time to wait on this congregation or that congregation, you know, whatever. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's think about Joseph for a minute. Joseph, God had a big plan for Joseph. Remember the whole, you know, vision he had of saving up money for 7 years because there were 7 bad years coming. That plan was to save the whole world. The Bible said that famine was over the whole world. And that plan was to save humanity, really. And so, but to have that kind of stewardship over the economy of the world, which is what it ended up being, he had to get him ready. And he did it by things like his brothers. I mean, God didn't lead his brothers to sell him into slavery. But he gave him an opportunity to learn to forgive when his brothers sold him into slavery.
Yes, sir.
when Potiphar lied about him, cheated, you know, tried to you know, seduce him, and she lied about him. Remember that?
Yeah.
He had to learn to forgive.
Yes.
Not be bitter. He's working in Joseph, preparing him for what he had for him. Boy, when God deals with you about these things, there's more to it than what we thought, maybe. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But let's pass some of these tests. What do you say?
Yes,
we've come a long ways. Let's keep on going.
Yes,
glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. We've gone long enough. Thank God. The reason God shows us and gives us a glimpse of things that are ahead sometimes is because he wants us to get ready for it. He doesn't show it so we can go around and say, see, I know what's coming. Well, big deal. Are you getting ready?
Yeah, come on.
Amen. This is an everyday thing. What have you done? What have you done? Just ask yourself this every day or regularly or every week or something. What have I done this week to get ready for what God's plan for my life is? If you've gotten a glimpse, many of you have got a glimpse of things you know he wants you to do.
Yes, sir.
Things he wants you to walk in.
Yeah.
What have you done this week? You know, every day. So however often you want to analyze it. Don't do it every year. I mean, do it regularly. Because
yes,
years are a year is a lot of time to let pass before you examine some of these things.
Yes.
No matter where you are, God has some more in mind. Isn't that right?
Yes.
But he needs to get us prepared for where we're going.
Hallelujah.
And so we can't just live for the immediate, just our daily responsibilities, just the finances, decisions that need not to be made, you know, just, you know, well, this is what I got to do today because this is the daily routine or whatever. We understand that we all have that, but we can't just be maintaining the status quo.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
For our whole
yes,
life.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Right. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's do something that actually qualifies us to get into the next thing God has for us. Because getting older physically, chronologically, in number of years, doesn't mean we're progressing spiritually. We've got to make sure we're taking steps on the course that he has for us. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're learning to do that, aren't we? Hallelujah. So if you're wondering why maybe God hasn't come through and taken you forward or something like that, possibly you're not ready or haven't been getting ready. Find out. Find out what you got to do, what steps to take. Amen. Remember what the Lord said to me? I want you to begin to prepare this congregation concerning the move of the Spirit. Well, he's getting us ready. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank God. I believe the Lord shared what he shared because he's pleased. Doesn't mean we're perfect.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But boy, we've come a long way, honey. We've come a long way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You might be looking at yourself and say, hey, I just see a whole lot of things that I need to still work on. Yeah, welcome to the human race. Amen. But you're progressing. That's the main thing. You're taking steps. You're judging yourself in the air as the Lord talks to you about. And you're just getting your character right and prepared a vessel of honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for what you've shared with us. Lord, we receive your plan for us as a congregation. Us individually, yes, but as a congregation, we receive this plan. Father, maybe our head doesn't even quite compute or calculate all that you want to do. But in our heart, we know it's grand, for you never make any small plans. Ah, yes, Lord. So we will respond to you. There's no way for us to accomplish it in the flesh, but we can just simply keep responding to your Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you for preparing, as we do, Father, thank you for preparing us for what you have prepared for us. We thank you for the glory we've had. But Father, according to your word, we're going from glory to glory. From faith to faith, from strength to strength. and from one degree of the move of the Spirit to another degree of the move of the Spirit. Thank you, Father. Your plan will be consummated in Eastern Iowa, and your heart will be glad. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your eyes, you said, your eyes look to and fro through the whole earth. You're looking for somebody you can use. We say, here we are, Lord. Here we are, Lord. We give you praise for your word. We give you praise for your plan. And we say, it will all come to pass. Yes, it will. Say it with me. It will come to pass. Say it again. It will all come to pass. Say it again.
It will all come to pass.
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 Just say it again and again.
It will all come to pass. It will all come
yes.
to pass.
It will all come to pass. It will all come to pass. It will all come to pass. It will all come to pass. It will all come to pass. It will all come to pass. It will all come to pass. It will all come to pass. It will all come to pass. It'll all come to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Myself to your perfect plan, to rise up in boldness, to gain, to understand. I rise up in the morning, I seek you with my heart, to grow in your plan, Lord. To grow in your plan, Lord, I will follow you. I rise up in the morning, I lay my plans down, no matter what I wanted, no matter, I look to you, and you will lead me, you will guide me ahead. I will avoid the obstacles, Lord, and follow you instead. I will rise up and follow you. I will rise up, follow you. I will rise up in the morning and lay my plans down. I will look to your word, and I know I can abound. And victory is on the horizon. Everything I say comes to pass as I follow your plan. Oh Lord, alas, oh, I will rise up and follow you. I will rise up and follow you. In Shaki. Why don't you just lift your voice? Sit down, Mosuki. Oh Lord, you clear the way. I see the horizon rising before me. Your will, your plan. Thank you, Lord, we walk in perfect unity. Oh, lift your voices. And let's just pray that out just a little bit. Just praying the plan out. Praying the plan out for this church. Just yield a little bit more to that. Oh, we walk in that plan, Father. We walk in that plan, Father. We see it. It's right there over the horizon. The plan of God, and we can see it, and we can touch it, and we go toward, and we move toward that plan in the name of Jesus. And we walk in that plan strong and mighty and healed and whole with signs and wonders taking place in this church and in this city as a result of believers who are following the plan of God. Wherever they go, Lord, you lead them, and they lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, and they shall invite people to this place, and they shall take them into their homes and get them filled with the Holy Ghost and minister healing and strength to them with godly wisdom in the fire of the Holy Ghost. We see it. It's right in the Namasuka, in the Nimera Tushta, Edelebrekunda, in Namasike, Elebora Sikivete, Ura Sangande, Elebresokuta, Peshanda Namasuku, Ura Sikida, Inanananananana Mahuhura Shike, Delebrendo, Kukuku, Usandala Brasike, Delebrendo, Shandala Brendikida, Edelebreto, Inanamasa, Edelebresta, Ishangango, Oshatala Breteka, ha ho 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 ho. And we walk in your plan. We talk your plan. Idelebresto, and we walk in your plan, and we talk your plan, and we go forward in faith and not doubt, not unbelief, not our own ways, not our own plans, but in your provision, in your plan, in signs and wonders and miracles, they shall increase as we increase in preparation. Oh, thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. John, didn't I see John come in back there? Where's John? Is he still here? Did he go out? John Roscoe? Is he back there? Is he out in the hallway? Thank you, Father. He's not? Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Glory to God. Well, greet somebody as you go and tell them, I thank God for preparation time. It's starting to all pay off.